But everything that God did to and for Jonah was for Nineveh. God had sinners on His mind that He wanted to see saved, but He again works through people. And I wonder how many of us have Jonah-like characteristics that's hindering God from being able to reach the so-called Ninevites of our day. Amen. That's what I'm going to deal with this morning. Chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah." I want you to really note that statement. I'm going to hammer on that statement this morning. "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah." That statement is full of truth, full of preaching. "The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." And I was thinking as I read about the... And you'd have to do some research and study on how wicked and how ungodly Nineveh was. But you know what? God sent a message of judgment, and yet 40 days and it'll be overthrown. And you know what I thought? God said the wickedness of Nineveh has come up before me. And God has sent a servant, or trying to send a servant, Jonah, to go cry against it. Go preach and expose their sin. You know, God has always been upset with sin. God's always, my friend, had a man that'll cry out against a nation's sin. You can count on the thousands of preachers that's in our day in America. I'm just talking about in America, thousands. You could probably name one or two or a handful that is preaching against the sin of our day. They're afraid. They're hirelings, most of them. They roll over for a paycheck. They're not interested in our nation. They're not. And I'll just be honest with you. If God don't judge America, friend, He'll have to apologize to Nineveh and Sodom and Gomorrah and Tyre and Sidon and all the rest that He sent judgment on.
Amen.
He's not going to. He's still a God of judgment, but we're seen to be a God of mercy. And He's holding back His wrath from America, but it's coming, and not too many days in the future. You better get ready. It's coming. Amen. Financially, it's coming. Spiritually, it's already here. Morally, it's already here. It's coming. Judgment is coming. If you don't hear nothing I say this morning, you better heard that. Judgment is coming. Amen. God will deal with sin. Listen, I'm not trying to get hung up right here, but if there was anybody that could have gotten by with it, it would have been Jesus. Jesus never sinned, but He had my sin and your sin on Him, and God judged Him on the cross, poured out all of His wrath on the cross, and if anybody could have got by with it, been Jesus. Not even Jesus got by with it. You and I won't, this country of ours won't, the church won't, God will deal with sin. Amen. But notice here, "Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." And we'll stop reading there. Let's pray once again. Father, I'm keenly aware, Lord, of the seriousness of this service. I realize, God, that You're wanting to challenge us and speak to us and deal with us. You're wanting to help us. Oh God, speak to us and through us about the Word of God and what You have revealed in my heart. I know, though simple as it is, let it be, Lord, let it be profound in our heart. Let it get big in us. Oh God, let the Word of God get big in us. We'll never get big with the Word until the Word gets big to us. Father, help us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Save sinners. Deal with your people this morning. And we'll love you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As I was reading, as I stated earlier, I was reading my devotions. And I hope that you do have devotions. I do hope you read the Word of God. Your relationship to the Word of God in many senses is, in fact, your relationship to God. You cannot have a relationship to God apart from having a relationship to the Word of God. I believe that's the bottom line problem of all spiritual failure, is a breakdown in our relationship to the Word of God. As I began to read this book, just to read it in my devotions, and it makes a difference if you read the Word of God looking for something. Not maybe looking for something particular, but just have your mind open. Have it neutral and let the Spirit of God guide your mind as you read the Word of God. And as I read these few verses here, I noticed something that I'd never seen. I preached the book of Jonah before. Brother Mark's taught the book of Jonah. I mean, it's just four chapters. You can sit down and read the whole thing in one setting. The book of Jonah is what many kids learn about, even in the early classes of Sunday school, about Jonah being swallowed by the whale. But I want you to notice something. In verse 1, what was it that came to Jonah? The Word of the Lord. And then in verse number 3, two different times, Jonah arose up in an effort to flee from what? Say it real quick. The presence of the Lord. Verse 1, the Word of the Lord came. But in verse 3, he rises up to run and flee from the presence of God. And that caught my attention, Brother Henry, and I thought, now why did it say that Jonah fled from the presence of God when he had just heard the Word of God? Why didn't it say that he got up and fled from the Word of God? Why did it not say that he fled from the Word of God? And that's what he was running from. He was running from God's call on his life. He was running from the fact God said, Jonah, arise and go to Nineveh and cry against the great city. That was the Word of God. And he was running from the Word of God. But the Bible says two times in verse 3 that he was running or fleeing from the presence of God. Now my question is, what the Spirit of God asked me, did Jonah run from the Word of God, or did Jonah run from the presence of God, or did he run from both? The Lord impressed my heart, and I'm telling you, I've got more Bible than I can preach this morning. I can tell you that to verify the Word of God is the presence of God. The Word of God is the presence of God. That ought to cause you to love this Bible a little more. Amen? This is your tangible evidence of God. God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. But this is a handling, this is a tangible, on earth evidence of God. How many people are out of sorts with the Word of God? I'm talking about saved folks. Go through the week and very seldom ever read it. And it very seldom ever reads them. Meditate on the Word of God scarce. Very scarcely. And I want to say that God hammered it in my soul that, brother, our relationship to the Word of God is in fact our relationship to the presence of God. We cannot have one without the other. What? You can't have one without the other. Amen? And I want to deal with that this morning. Did Jonah leave and run from the Word of God? Or did he run from the presence of God? Or are they two, one and the same? And I believe they're both one and the same. Amen? How important is the presence of God to you this morning? I think that is a very important, a very big, a very personal question to all of us this morning, from the youngest to the oldest that sits here today, church members and visitors. How important is the presence of God to you this morning? Now listen, I'm just going to tell you up front, in the beginning of this message this morning, if the presence of God is not as essential, it's not a necessary in your life, then this message today will be meaningless to you. But if the presence of God, my friend, is important to you, it is valuable to you, it is crucial to you, it is absolutely an essential to you, then the message this morning probably will be meaningful to you. Amen? There's no substitute for the presence of God. Are you listening? In your life personally, or in our church collectively, or in our nation, there's no substitute for the presence of the Lord. Would you not agree with that? A lot of people don't value His presence because they've really never developed an intimacy with His presence. Now I'm going to tell you, friend, when I got saved January 20th, 1981, my friend, listen, 27 and a half years ago, when I met the Master, when I got saved, I want to tell you, I was introduced immediately into His glory and His presence. His presence right from the start became a vital part of my life. And when I don't have His presence, I'm concerned, I'm bothered, I'm disturbed when I don't have His presence. I'm talking about His manifest presence. I know that every believer has His abiding presence inside them. Now I'm talking about that manifest, enjoyable presence of God. That experiential presence of God. Amen. Oh God, help us to know that the presence of God, the God of heaven, the God of glory, is one to be experienced this morning. Oh, I don't know how I can get this out the way it's in me. But I want to tell you this morning, the presence of God is crucial. It's crucial. We've got to have His presence. Now, there's a lot of churches that are trying to substitute something for the presence of God. They're trying to fabricate an alternative. They've lost the presence of God. You know that. There's no need for me to, my friend, to act like that that's not true. You know good and well that the majority of churches today are twice dead and plucked up by the roots. You know that the majority of churches today is nothing but a religious function, just a religious social gathering, my friend, in the presence of God is nowhere to be found. You say, preacher, can a church get in that shape? The church of Laodicea got in that shape. The church of Laodicea had the church, had the pastor, had the membership, had money, had finances, had activity. He said, I know thy works. They were active. They were in motion. They were doing something. But guess what we find in verse 20? Jesus Christ Himself is on the outside knocking and saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and will open unto me, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Yes, sir, you can believe a church can lose the presence of God. An individual can lose the presence of God. We can get so distracted with everything and other things that we lose the presence of God. You say, can it happen? You remember when Mary and Joseph took Jesus at the age of 12 up to the temple. You remember that? And how they spent their time there and their, you know, the yearly thing that they went through. Well, guess what? When it was time to leave, Mary and Joseph and all the people packed up their stuff and was heading back to the house. They went a 3 days journey and didn't even recognize that Jesus Christ was not even with them. And if anybody on planet Earth should have missed Him, it should have been Mary and Joseph. But if you look at that passage and that story, in reality, they lost the presence of Christ. Are you listening? I'm telling you, there's no substitute for the presence of God. Yes, friend, there's needs that are enormous in our lives, in our community, and in our nation, and in our world. 6.5 billion people, and the majority of them lost without God, with no concern, no thought whatsoever of where they're going to spend eternity. Yes, the need is great, But every need, my friend, that's in this world or in your life is minor if we could just get God back on the scene. When Jairus seen that his daughter was dying, he didn't go get the doctor. He said, "I tell you," and he didn't stay there and hold her hand and weep and mourn and grieve over his daughter. He was driven inside of him. I'm going to go get God. I'm going to go get Christ. And he went and found him and said, "Come, ere my daughter die." He knew the solution was to get Jesus on the scene and the presence of God on the scene. Saving people, God can save people. If you can get His presence in the service and in our lives and in our home and in our community, give Him a channel to work through, brother, we can see Him do great and mighty things, even though the area is wicked and the spiritual darkness has crept over our country. How important is the presence of God to you? Are you listening? How long has it been since you felt the presence of God? We're going somewhere. We're not meddling. We're not running rabbits. We're going somewhere. How long has it been since you felt the presence of God? Number two, how long has it been since you missed it? If it's been 24 hours, you ought to miss it. Amen. In fact, I don't always do it, but I want to walk in a consciousness of the presence of God. It'll help you to talk to Him if you realize He's there. A lot of people don't pray because they're nowhere around the presence of God. It's like talking to that wall. Are you listening to the preacher this morning? I'm here on business this morning, serious. I'm as serious as I can be this morning. How important is the presence of God? You young people that supposedly have gotten saved, and I'm not questioning, I'm just saying, you say you've gotten saved. You young people, where's the presence of God at in your life? If there's anything taught in this Bible, and it is taught, buddy, from cover to cover, salvation will put God in your life. Salvation puts God in you, and puts you in God. Amen. If you're saved, God's in you. And you're in God. Amen. How important is it, the presence of God in your heart and your life as a young person? If we can get young people hooked on the presence of the Lord, you don't have to worry about putting something else on the table. If you can get them hooked on Jesus, fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and His presence be valuable, more valuable than popularity, more valuable than pleasures, more valuable, my friend, than positions, more valuable than recognition and peer pressure and being accepted among those and learning how to text message and having them on cell phone and being able to beat everybody in the Game Boys and all the other video games. And I mean, more important than that, I want God to walk with me and talk with me. I want Him to hold my hand. I want Him to guide my feet. I want Him to feed my soul. I want Him to let me know what's wrong in my life that He don't like so I can deal with it. I want Him to know, brother, what He wants in my life. How important is the presence of God to you? Amen. I can tell you how you can use that as a spiritual measurement. When you start losing the presence of God and it don't matter. When other things become to take the place of priority and prominence that His presence is supposed to occupy. And listen, friend, listen, I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. Brother, there's always been a battle in my life spiritually about what is going to take the place of the presence of God in my life. There's always things trying to creep into my life that'll push the presence of God to the side. And I'm not talking about bad things. I'm talking about even good things. Good things, if they become a big thing, will get in the way of the best thing, and that makes it a bad thing. Now don't ask me to repeat that. Are you listening? How many times have I seen and you've seen things or people or events or circumstances or valleys or troubles creep into your life and push God aside? How important is the presence of God to you? You say, preacher, it's crucial. I've got to have Him. Without Him, I can't make it. Without Him, I can't make it. I can't survive. I don't want to survive. But a lot of churches, my friend, have lost the presence of God. It's evident. And what they are doing is, my friend, they're fabricating substitutes. They know that, brother, just the straight, raw preaching of the Word of God is not going to attract the goats that's on their pews. They know that they're going to have to give them this and give them that and listen, I was talking to a fellow, mostly listening this week, to an individual talk about their so-called church in our area, big, large church in our area, and some of the things that they have for their young people. I thought, unto God, God deliver me if I ever stoop to that level. Are you listening? We may not have 500 young people. We could have a whole lot more, and we're after all we can get. But I'll tell you one thing, we're not going to compromise the gospel to get them. We're not going to sugarcoat the gospel to get them. You say, but preacher, if you preach the truth, they won't, none of them stay. If they're interested in missing hell, they'll stay. If they're interested in hearing the truth, that'll set them free from the bondages and addictions of life, they'll stay. But if they're after, my friend, just going to church for a boyfriend, going to church for a girlfriend, why, sure they'll get mad when you preach against sin. Are you listening? How important is the presence of God to you? You say, preacher, how many more times are you going to ask that till you get it? How important is the presence of God? And you can tell how important the presence of God is to your life by how and what steps you go to maintain His presence in your life. What are you willing to deal with in your life to keep and to maintain the presence of God in your life? Jonah, my first reading of this, I would say to Jonah, Jonah, you didn't value the presence of God, because it surely didn't take much to get you to run from it. Jonah, you not value the presence of God? No. I tell you, Jonah, what Jonah valued. You ready? Are we all listening this morning? You know what Jonah valued? Jonah. Jonah was like many of us. I did say us. There's a wide streak of selfishness about that wide running through us. And I preached about it last Sunday on who are you pleasing. The first one is, are you pleasing self? Huh? We like ourselves. We love ourselves. Come on, don't look so strange. Not a one of us are exempt from that statement. You love yourself. Amen? Right. That's right. But listen, and that's natural and that's normal. You're not supposed to hate yourself. Deny yourself, yes. Hate yourself, no. If the devil can get you to hate yourself, then he'll move in and bring all other kinds of weird and ungodly thoughts in with it. He can get you to hate yourself. I'm telling you, I live life. I'm not the least bit interested in leaving this world or dying prematurely. I'll leave when God's done with me. I don't hate my life. I don't hate myself. And you don't either. In fact, here's where the problem comes, Brother David, is that we love ourselves to the point that self starts taking the prominent place of the Savior and of the Sovereign. Instead of it's His presence that's vital in our life, it becomes what's best for me and what's more important to me and what's comfortable for me. See, Jonah to go to Nineveh would have got him out of his comfort zone. He was to go to the Ninevites, and I don't have time to go into the background behind that, but he was to go to that wicked city and cry against it. And he loved Jonah, He loved Jonah to the point that he was willing to discard the presence of God, the will of God, the Word of God, the favor and pleasure of God, just to cater to what old Jonah wanted. Are you listening to me? I say again, how important, how valuable is the presence of God in your life? Amen. You said, preacher, we can't have... Can we have... Oh, yes. Enoch walked with God 300 years in the days prior to Noah's, the flood of Noah's day. He didn't even have a Bible. He didn't have a big family heritage. He could go back and say, man, I had a great-grandpa or grandpa or this, that, and loved God and walked with God. There was very few that ever walked with God before Enoch did. Are you listening to me? But yet Enoch, when Methuselah was born, God changed his life and he walked and lived for God in difficult days for 300 years. You say, how'd he do that? Well, he had to deny himself because you know he got discouraged. You know the pressure was against him. The odds were against him, but he denied himself and valued the presence of God. He walked with God. God is a God to be walked with. By the way, if you're interested in good exercise, walk with God. If you're interested in good cardiovascular workout, walk with God. You say, but preacher, I've been trying to walk with God, but He just don't want to go down the trail I want to go down. Oh, it didn't say that God walked with Enoch. It didn't say that God walked with Enoch, would have put Enoch in control. But it said that Enoch walked with God. That meant, God, You choose the direction. You choose the turns. I'll go with You. You know best. I'm walking with You. Amen. A lot of people wouldn't care to have God around as long as He's catering to them like a traveling grocery store. You know? A lot of people wanted Jesus around in His earthly ministry because He could feed you with nothing and heal you with a word. And, oh, yeah. But there wasn't too many wanting to walk with Him. He had a big crowd there in Luke 14, walked out on Him. Big crowd, thousands, thousands. Man, He looked good. But He's never been crowd controlled. Never. Stood up, preached one message on the claims of Christ. Now that you're saved, you're My disciple, and here's what that means. And He laid it out right down through those verses, and I mean, son, the whole outfit left. See, they want Him to heal, they want Him to help, they want some bread, they want a lunch, but they don't want a Lord. They want a meal, but not a master. But Jesus is saying, look, if you're going to get My benefits, you've got to have Me as boss. Amen. I know it's quiet in here, but it's not tight. I've got good liberty to preach this morning. Are you listening? God's dealing with us. Ain't no doubt about it. How important is the presence of God? But after Jonah heard the Word of God in verse 1, he rose up in verse 3. Two times it's talked about fleeing from the presence of God. Why? Because the Word of God is in fact the presence of God. Your relationship, I've done said it, say it again, your relationship to the Word of God is your relationship to God. A person that does not... Listen, I'm talking about saved people that claim, quote unquote, claim to be saved. They never read their Bible. You better watch it. You better watch that individual that never reads their Bible. Makes me wonder, where is God at in their life? I'm telling you, friend, whether we like it or not, buddy, this Word right here is the measuring stick of spirituality. Amen. The Word of God is the presence of God. That's what I'm preaching on, the Word of God and the presence of God. One and the same. One and the same. You say, preacher, give me some more proof text. Well, I was hoping you'd ask that. Let me give you an example. I'm going to give you several right here real quick. If you'll listen quick, I'll try to preach quick. Try. You remember in the Garden of Eden, it was a common occurrence for God to come and walk with Adam in the cool of the day. There's the presence of God. But also with the presence of God, Brother James, was the Word of God. God said to Adam and Eve, "Ever all these other trees you can eat, but don't eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil." They had the presence of God, and as long, listen, they had the Word of God. They just had a one commandment Bible, and they couldn't even keep it. Amen. That's good. Brother Mark brought that out. And guess what? Listen to this. They had the Word of God, and as long as they honored the Word of God, as long as they obeyed the Word of God, here it comes, they had the presence of God. But when they disobeyed the Word of God, and God come walking in the cool of the day to have fellowship with them as before, guess what happened, Brother Seal? Adam and Eve ran and hid themselves. The one that they used to enjoy His company, used to enjoy His favor and blessing in His presence, guess what? Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? When they disobeyed the Word of God, got crossways with the Word of God, they lost the presence of God. Are you listening? All right, listen to this right here. Here's another example. Talking about the Word of God and the presence of God are inseparable. Here's another, the chief example in the Bible. The chief example. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Are you listening? And the Word was with God. And the Word... Come on now, this is this last statement. And the Word was God. Everybody say it. And the Word was God. Now can you separate God from His Word? When the Word is God. Jesus Christ is the living W-O-R-D, printed in the written Word. In fact, Jesus is called the Word of God, Revelations 19 and 13, and His name shall be called the Word of God. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. Is He not? And His name is called the Word of God. Why? God's presence and the Word of God are one and the same. Amen. Oh, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. Listen. Christ, in Matthew 1:23, Christ, His name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So there's no question. I don't have time to deal with the deity of Christ this morning. I mean, there is no doctrine any more clear in the pages of the Word of God than the deity of Christ. That is, Jesus Christ is God. Can you explain that? No, but I believe it. That definitely Jesus Christ is God. But yet the same Christ that was said to be God is also said to be the Word. Amen? Hebrews 1 and verse 3, here's what it was said about Jesus. Are you listening? It was said about Christ that Christ, listen, is, here it is, quote, the express image of His person. He's God, manifest in the flesh. Listen, you know what Jesus told Philip in John 14? John 14 and verse 9, Philip asked the question, "Show us the Father." Jesus said, "If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father." Those are only just a few of the many verses that verify and confirm the deity of Christ. But the point I want to reiterate again is the fact that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, but yet also, Brother Henry, He's the Word of God. Are you listening? Let me move on. Let me deal with something else. You ready for another one? Turn to Joshua chapter 1. I said, "Preacher, my goodness, you got all that in devotion?" Well, no, it started in devotion. And then it continued in meditation. Joshua chapter number 1. You know the story here behind Joshua chapter number 1. Moses had died and Joshua had stepped in to take leadership and lead the people of God into the land of Canaan. And here's what he makes a statement in verse number... let's look at verse 7 and 8 first. Let's just read these two verses. "Only be thou strong, very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. What is that? Say it again. The Word. There's the Word of God. All right, look on. Let's read on. You observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God saying right here, Joshua, as you lead the people of God, the Word of God is vital. Observe it. Do it. Obey it. Keep it. Meditate on it. But then look at verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. The Word of God and the presence of God. Oh, I just sang something. Verse number 7, talking about the Word of God, look what it said in the last part of the verse. That thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. That's the evidence and the effects of the Word of God in your life. Look at verse 9. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So you have the Word of God going with you in verse 7, whithersoever thou goest. And then you've got God going with you whithersoever thou goest in verse number 9. You say, is that a contradiction? No, that's a confirmation that the Word of God, God goes where His Word goes. God goes where His Word goes. God's never going to detour from His Word. God is never going to go contrary to His Word. I've had people to tell me that the Holy Ghost told them to do thus and so when it clearly violated Scripture. I said, hey, there may have been a spirit told you to do that, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit told you to do that, because the author of this Bible is the Holy Spirit. He'll never lead you or me or nobody else contrary to this book. Amen? Listen. I was wanting to get into that Joshua 1. I was wanting to give it to you. Can I give some of it to you? I studied it out. I ought to give it to you. He said, first thing he said about the Word of God is, don't let it depart out of your mouth. That's what he said. Verse number 7, only be thou strong and courageous, that thou mayest observe to do. Observe. Why read the Word of God? So we can know what we're supposed to do. Why do we want a preacher that'll preach the truth? Teachers that'll teach the truth. Why? Why? So that we can know what we're supposed to observe. I wouldn't want to go to church that didn't have a preaching ministry. Are you listening? If y'all don't like this, just sit there and act like it, because I am. It's a feeding me. It's helping me. What I'm preaching today is going to keep me going when the battles arise. What's going to keep you going? My relationship to this book is what's kept me already from sinking. I promise you that's right. I want to say it again. It's on tape. I want you to hear it. It's been this preacher, it's what's kept me afloat. It's what's kept me going. It's my relationship to the Word of God, and it feeding me and directing me and leading me and correcting me. Are you listening? You have a weak relationship with this book. You will be weak when you need to be strong. It won't take much to knock you down. It won't take much to knock you out if you have a poor relationship to the Word of God. And friend, listen, I don't want you to think that I'm a prophet of doom, but I'm a realist. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. That's my opinion. Tough times are coming. Dark days are coming. Spiritually in this country, they're on the way. You can count on it. I know that this Bible teaches that I will not go through 1 minute of the time of Jacob's trouble, the time of great tribulation, but I'll tell you what we will see. We will see the preliminaries. we will see the setting of the stage for the arrival of the Antichrist. Are you listening? We won't go through the tribulation. The Antichrist can't show up until the Christ shows up and takes out the salt and light, the believers, out of this world. Darkness is going to invade this world like never before. The Antichrist step on the scene with all the answers and with all the solutions, my friend, and it's going to take over a one world government. We've already got the United Nations. There's already, Brother Ralph Sexton Jr. has already saw the making of one world currency. We're headed for a cashless society. Are you listening? We're headed for a cashless society. Just a card, just some numbers. That's all you are. Just a card and numbers. And then it's going to progress, and just real easy to see it. It's going to progress. People's going to lose their cards and they're going to have problems. So then they'll start inserting chips. And they're already doing that in animals. Are you listening? I'm not hallucinating. I'm not fairy tale preaching this morning. I'm trying to get us to realize, buddy, we're in the last of the last days. I'm not talking about the end of time. I'm talking about close to the coming of the Lord. We're not nearing the end of time. There's at least 1,007 years left in time. If Jesus comes right at this very second, there's 1,007 years left of time. We're not entering. Don't listen to that. Well, I ain't gonna get in on that. That'll ruin a good message. But don't listen to much of that outfit on television that claims they be prophecy preachers. They're wanting your money. They're wanting you to buy their book and their tapes. Are you listening? That's right. You will not come in my house and find one. And if you've got them, that's between you and the Lord. I probably ought not even say it, but I'm done out there. I might as well say it. You can't come in my house and find not one tape of the Left Behind series. Not one. Well, anyway. I know that went cross grain. But you can tell I'm bothered about it. I'll lose one. I won't even have to take a half a baby aspirin a night to sleep. Anybody, I don't care what their names are or who they're identified with, if they keep a child of God here to go through part of the tribulation, they're not biblically right and I don't want to hear them. And that's what that does. Amen. Well, anyway, I didn't know if y'all could handle that or not. I hadn't planned on dealing with that. But anyway, shall not depart out of thy mouth. Shall not depart. That word depart means to cease or to withdraw. Don't let the Word of God withdraw out of your mouth or cease from your mouth. What's the mouth referred to? Mouth refers to two things. Number one, speech. When He said, don't let the Word depart out of your mouth, He said, don't quit talking it. Don't quit talking about it. Don't quit telling it. Don't quit discussing it. Don't quit teaching it. Don't quit preaching it. Don't let it come out of your mouth. Because see, what you can tell what's in people's hearts by what's in their mouth. Listen, Matthew 12, out of the abundance of heart, the mouth speaketh. A person that never talks about the Word of God is a person that don't have the Word of God in their heart. So the Word of God, when He said, don't let it depart out of your mouth, is referring to your speech. Don't quit talking about it. Talk it to your kids. Tell it to your kids. And let them tell it to their kids. But the other way, the other reference of the mouth is food. You remember what Romans chapter number 10 says in verse 8? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. The word of faith, or the word that we preach, the word of faith. It's even in thy mouth, even in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. So the mouth refers to speech, teaching, talking it, eating it. And then it talks about food, eating it. Do you feed on the word of God? Our church's existence in the future is going to depend on who and how many is feeding on the Word of God. Listen to me. Listen, when the pressure comes, like I've been talking about there just the last little bit, when the heat gets on this country financially, when the heat gets on this country, right now they're already rationing rice. The most plentiful, probably the most plentiful food on the planet, and they're rationing it. Some countries, that's all they eat, pretty much. Are you listening to this preacher? Gas going out the top, groceries going out the top, shortages of all kinds of things is upon us. You know what it's going to do? Listen, I want all of your attention. It's going to separate the men from the boys, the house of God. Those, my friend, that don't have a real walk with God will fizzle out quick. Tell you what you do. If you got a bulletin, write that little statement I just said down and put my. I'll sign it after church, and you tell me in 5 years if I ain't right. Brother, I'm preparing for the times ahead. I am not wanting to be a quitter. I don't want to fizzle out. I want to stay with the stuff. I don't want to cater to pressure. I want to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. And I'm afraid, friend, if hard times were to hit us in the next 2 months, there wouldn't be enough people in the average church to turn the lights on. Because you look now at people you know and I know, what little bit it took to knock them out. There's people, my friend, just about quit church if I don't, as a preacher, shake their hand. I've had that to happen. Didn't even see their hand. One in particular, it's on my mind. Never even saw their hand when it was stuck out. I was running back and forth and had 400 things on my mind about church. That's what's on my mind when I come to church, is church. I didn't even see their hand. Left, never did come back. He didn't even shake my hand. I didn't even see it. A person will be a bald face, not just a liar, but a bald face liar if they don't say that I don't socialize. I shake everybody's hand, try to. Amen? Ask some of our visitors. John, if I shook your hand. Say that again. Run out the door after me. I wasn't about to let them get in the car before I shook her hand. Are you listening? Did that mean anything to you? That means something to visitors when church members shows an interest. When you see a visitor come in, let me just get off my message right here. When you see a visitor come in, make it your business to go talk to them. Don't click up and get with your little group. Go shake hands with the visitors. Introduce yourself. Glad to have you in the house of God. Hope you come back. Where do you live? Say amen. That's just a little insertion there. Don't have a thing to do with what I'm preaching. But I'm just talking about what little bit it takes to knock people out. Not even shake their hand. I'll tell you what I run out of a long time ago. I'll tell you what I run out of. I want to make sure I don't have any. Make sure I don't have any. I run out of pacifiers a long time ago. I'm not interested in pastoring babies. Amen. We're raising up men and women here that wants to serve God, and they're not real easy to catch a disease that kills you called the poochie lip. Say amen right there. I love you. Amen. Don't let it depart out of your mouth. He said, meditate in it day and night. Day speaks of light. Night speaks of night or darkness. God says, have the Word of God. Oh, yes, amen. He said, don't let it leave your mouth. Now He's saying, make sure it's on your mind. If you want to enjoy the presence of God, make sure the Word of God is in two places. On your mind and in your mouth. If it's on your mind, it will be in your mouth. Normally what gets in your mouth is on your mind. And we're going to go practice that after a while. Amen? Whatever gets in your mouth is on your mind. Jesus said, don't let the Word of God get off your out of your mouth, and don't let the Word of God get out of your mind. He said, meditate on it daytime. That's when everything's fine and light and you can see. But He said also in the nighttime when it's dark and gloomy and you can't see, you don't know what's going on, God says meditate on the Word of God. Keep it on your mind. And then He went on to say observe to do it. He said keep it in your mouth, on your mind, and in your motions. Make sure you keep acting and walking out and carrying out the Word of God. All right, meditate. You know what the word meditate means? I don't have a clue what time it is. Every clock up here is gone. I like it. I don't know what time it is. That's good. I know one thing. God's not done yet. Now watch this right here. He said meditate. That means to utter or to mutter. Listen. It means to utter or to mutter or to ponder. Dwell on. Dwell on. What you keep your mind on is going to be in control of your spiritual life. Do you know that? Can y'all listen to the preacher for a few minutes? What your mind is on, and there's a fight for that. The devil in the world is after your attention and after your thoughts. Whatever your mind is on will be in the driver's seat of your spiritual life. That's why the Bible talks so much about meditating on the Word of God, dwelling on it, pondering on it. But you don't like that. Your flesh don't like that. Your flesh rather dwell on the series that's being played. Who's winning and who's losing it? Are you listening to me? What is your mind on this morning? I've been in this thing long enough, friend. Now, I'm not a veteran. I'm not a know-it-all. And I'm not a smart aleck. But I want to tell you, I've been in ministry long enough, dealing with people, dealing with church. I've been in it long enough, I can tell you, friend, about when we come to church, about after the first song, where people's minds are. I'm just going to be honest with you. Our song service this morning all but just grieved me to death. Wonder where our mind was at. Wonder where mine was at. She said, preacher, that's pretty stout. That's pretty tough. We pay your salary. No, you don't. God does. God does. And I'm not making that a smart aleck remark either. Amen. I'm going to be faithful to God's Word. And I'm going to try to lead us on spiritually. We may not have many to follow, but I'm going to try to lead. And I believe the closer we get and come to the Lord, the more people's going to be interested in finding a church that's got the presence of God in it. Amen, brother? Amen. All right, listen to this. Of course, you know this. I'll just run through it real quick. Like a cow, it's illustrated, meditation is illustrated as a cow chewing its cud. You ever seen them? I know you have. Lord mercy, you don't live in the city. You live here. They're not chewing their cud when they're out there picking. They're not getting all the good out of it. All they're doing is picking it. That's like reading the Word of God. But Gene, you've had cows, haven't you? How they eat all that. But see, you got them. They eat constant. Very few times you ever see them laying down. I don't know if I ever say want to sleep. But I'll see them go there. That head just a rocking through them weeds, boy. I thought, my soul, you're not even chewing it. And it was almost like a cow say, later, preacher. Later. That picking is like reading. Read that Word of God and see something that catches your eye. I've talked to you, Brother David, about that. Something catches your eye, make you a note of it. Make you a note of it to go back and study that thing out and feed on it. Reading is picking. Getting it in you. Meditation is chewing it up and getting all the good out of it. See, that cow probably knows that there's something inside them blades of grass, inside the blades of grass, that they need inside of them. But they won't be able to get it out of the inside of the grass until they get the grass inside of them. Don't ask me to repeat that either. But once they get the grass inside of them, then they know the next step is to get out of the grass what is in the grass that they need to grow and develop and to feed their young. Reading the Bible, friend, is picking. Meditating is getting all the juice out of it for your growth and your development. All right, look here. Let's move on real quick. You want me to give you another one? Let me give you another one. I don't know if you do or not. Do you? This is all introductory stuff. I want to get on down on there and getting in the wrong boat. I may deal with it later. Let me just throw this out there in case you weren't planning on coming back tonight. You say, preacher, is it costly to run away from the Word of God and the presence of God? It's a guarantee you will wind up on the wrong boat going in the wrong direction. Jonah did. Jonah ran from the Word of God, the presence of God, got on the wrong boat. Boy, how many people today is on the wrong boat? Yeah, that's part of it too. Amen. Here's another one. I'll just throw this out there real quickly. Whether we come back to the other or not, we'll see. Colossians 3:16. Let me just read it to you. Let me just read it to you real quick. Give me just a few minutes here, please.
Bless you.
I'm hungry too. Colossians 3. Won't you look at this word? Look at 3:16. Colossians 3:16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Do you notice that? He said, let the Word of God dwell in you richly. The word richly means abundantly. Let it just dwell in your hearts abundantly. The word dwell means to let it inhabit. Let it inhabit your life. Let it live there. All right, listen to this. That word dwell, give me just a few minutes here. That word dwell means what I said, to dwell in or to inhabit. But here's what I want you to get. It's in the act. I'll mention these three and I'm going to go back and deal with them just for a moment. It's in the active voice. It's in the present tense. And it's in the imperative mood. So what does all that mean, preacher? Well, here it is. The active voice means the subject is the doer of the action. If the Word of Christ dwells in me richly, it is my business. It's my responsibility. I'm the doer of the action. Amen. Can't blame nobody else for your poor relationship with the Word of God. You're responsible. So that's what the word, that's what active voice means. Present tense. Do you need that explained? Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. That means present tense. Right now. It's not your relationship in years gone by. It's not what you intend to do. But how is your relationship right now to the Word of God? If you go outside, you're going to get wet anyway. Listen to it thunder. Amen, Jesus. But also the imperative mood. What does that mean? What is something in the English language? Something's imperative. What does that mean? Essential, necessary. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. That means it's necessary. It's an imperative. And it literally means a command. You're to study the Word of God is not an option, a suggestion, or a good idea. It's a command. All right, watch this right here. Boy, this is good. To dwell in. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you, richly. See, this Bible, friend, cannot help you till it gets in you. No more than the grass can help the cow till it gets in them. No more than food can help you until it gets in you. It's got to get in you. That's a thrust of the message this morning. The Word of God come to you. The Word of God, we have it, friend. Don't run from it. Because to run from the Word of God, Brother Mike, is to run from the presence of God. You need this book. This book's dependent on you to live out what's on its pages. Listen to this. Dwell in you. In is a primary preposition. Now, I'm not an English scholar, but I can study. The word in is a primary preposition, listen, denoting a fixed position in place, time, and state. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you. That is, let it be a fixed position, time, place, and condition. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you, a fixed position. If you're fixed in the Word's fixed in you, you'll stand when the storm's blowing. Amen. That word dwell, that word in is also translated by, with, among, at, on, and through. So what does all that mean? Put them in there. Let the Word of Christ dwell on you richly. Let the Word of Christ dwell with you richly. Let the Word of Christ dwell among you richly. Let the Word of Christ dwell through you richly. That's good preaching, ain't it? But here's the point I really wanted to make. I'm closing my Bible. You looking? What a point I wanted to make is, compare when you get home, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, to this passage. Ephesians 5, 18 and 19 talks about being filled with the Spirit. And the fruit of that, the evidence of that is speaking yourselves in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. This verse in Colossians 3 says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you. Ephesians says, let be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit is God. God is the Spirit. That's God. That's the presence of God. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly. That's the Word of God. The results of the same. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know why they're the same? They're one and the same. The Word of God is the presence of God. The whole message this morning, I never got to where I really wanted to get to as far as getting on the wrong boat and all that. But I'm telling you this morning, our whole life spiritually is going to rest on our relationship with the Word of God. It'd probably be embarrassing. It'd probably be really embarrassing how many in this building today. Listen to me. I'm trying to challenge you. I'm not trying to beat you down and kick you all the way to the car. I'm trying to challenge you of what you're going to have to make it as a Christian in this wicked and ungodly world. You have to have a relationship to that Bible. And I'm not talking about mechanically, Brother Seal, just reading it. I'm not talking about just flipping through the pages and read two chapters or whatever and say, well, I've read my Bible for today. No, I'm talking about letting that Bible be as important to you as your food is. You won't miss too many meals. I won't either. You can be working, you can be in the garden, you can be mowing your yard, you can be playing, you can be whatever you're doing, but when it's eating time and that hunger starts coming in, guess what? You're going to be a priority. Going to eat. Amen. I kind of got a habit of it. Why? I like it. God gave me a taste. When He created me, Brother Henry, He gave me a taste that enjoys eating. I like it. In fact, sometimes I eat when I'm not even hungry. Say amen right there.
Amen.
I eat just because it's just a good thing to do. Amen. How many times do we eat before we go to bed and not even hungry? Come on. If we're not careful, that'll turn us into a waddler. I've done it, Lord, help us, Jesus. But what I'm saying is, we need to develop, we better, young people, you that's been saved, it don't matter. Listen, if you're old enough to be saved, if you're old enough, you better listen to what this preacher's preached today. I didn't preach for adults. What I preached wasn't adult-only stuff. Preacher stuff. If you're old enough to be saved, you're old enough to read that Bible, and for that Bible to read you, and to study that Word of God, learn that Word of God. How many kids today knows more about who's popular, and the movie stars, and all of that, than they do the Bible? I wonder how many kids today have learned one verse of Scripture, memorized one verse of Scripture in the last 6 months. I'd be afraid almost to ask of our young people here in this church, from the least right on up through teenagers, how many of you have learned a verse of Scripture in the last 6 months? I wonder how many adults have memorized a verse of Scripture in the last 6 months. And then we wonder, listen, I'm telling you, friend, we've got to have what I'm preaching today. The Word of God is what's going to keep you afloat.
You couldn't even get saved apart from the Word of God. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of the corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. James 1:17, of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth. You can't even get saved apart from the Word of God. What it took to save you is the same thing it's going to take to school you and to develop you and to make you a good soldier for Jesus Christ.